Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Power. I want us to talk about power today, this subject there. And as a Christian, you should know there's really only one source of power. Now, that is shared equally with those that believe. But secondly, those that claim that power. And thirdly, those that exercise it. You must learn to exercise your gifts. If you don't exercise it, I'm sorry. It's not going to do you any good, because you're not going to know how to use it even if God gives it to you. And I speak of his example, using his power, knowing what limitations are set upon you, how you're to use that power, what it's all about. Now, basically, we're going to be talking about two Greek words today. Ekklesia will be one. That's the power that you are given if you take care of it. And it means, basically, with consensus. Now, some might say, well, you're bending it a little bit. No, I'm not. With consensus, and of course, the prime root being love, as I'm going to show you before we finish this lecture. And the other Greek word is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. I mean, it's explosive, it's powerful, and it usually has to do with something miraculous that God performs and is utilized in that particular way. And we ask a word of wisdom and blessing from our Father. Open your Bibles to the 10th chapter of the great book of Luke. And we're going to pick it up in the 18th verse, and let's cover these words as they're used here. And Luke chapter 10, verse 18 reads, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And of course, we know we're looking forward there to the appearance of the false Messiah, the spurious Messiah, as it will happen. The foreknowledge for you will come to pass in the fifth trump. The actuality, that is to say, de facto, will happen in the sixth. What are you going to do about it? And should you be concerned? Should you be concerned today about so-called evil spirits? And they do exist, very much so. What can you do about them? Verse 19. Behold, I give. Now, I want to read that again. Behold, let's look here. I give. That's Christ speaking. I give unto you power to tread on serpents. And this word power here is ekklesia, which is to say with consensus. Why consensus? Because if you don't have his approval, and if it's not consensual between the two of you, it ain't going to happen. All right? You start treading on serpents and they'll bite you unless you have the power. All right? I'm talking about, and it is talking about evil spirits. The spirit of the serpent, and who is the serpent? That one we just saw fall like lightning. Also, I want to draw from the fact that to fall like lightning gives light, only it's not the true light, it's a fake light. But it illuminates and deceives many people. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's even the scorpions of Revelation chapter 9. You have power over them. You don't have anything to worry about. And over all the power, now underline that word, it's different. Even though it's power in English, it's different in the manuscripts. It's dunamis, which means magical, mysterious, powerful. the power of the enemy. In other words, your little old ecclesia power is stronger than dunamis that is brought forth of the enemy. Now, I hope you find that as reassuring as I do. Because this even dunamis even refers to supernatural. Think about it. He gives you power over even the supernatural. That is to say, your enemy, any enemy, all your enemies, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's quite a promise. But again, the word power translated to you is consensual. You got to know how to use it. You got to know how to claim it. Or you're going to get tore up in a big, bad way. Your faith alone will exercise or give you the ability to exercise that power. You don't have to put up with it. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the teachings of Jesus Christ? He said, I give unto you, Y-O-U, that's you, power over serpents, scorpions, and the dunamis, the power of all that is evil of your enemies that's against you. What does that leave us? Fantastic ground. I mean, take names and kick dragons. I mean, we've got it made, and that is the power that is given from God. Boy, that just really, you know, you could just think of that for a moment and sleep good at night as long as you use the authority, and authority being part of that power, to say anything negative out of my family's life, period. And of course, in the name of Jesus Christ, and never forgetting where that power comes from and who gave it. Because without Him, you're just a flesh body. With Him, you're a Christian, Christ man. And that gives you, as long as you have His consensus and you understand that power, I'm assuring you, it's His promise. You don't have anything to be afraid of, or He's going to test you. But do you know what He expects you to do with the enemy? You'll let him come right up, I mean face to face. He wants you to make mincemeat out of them. You don't have to be afraid of them. There's no giants in the world. You are the giant when you have that power that is around you, in you, above you. You don't know what's above your head when you possess that power that is there waiting to be utilized. Don't make something super spiritual out of this. This is an actual fact. It's a reality. He made it a reality. Verse 20, notwithstanding, he says, regardless of this, or even with this being true, in this rejoice not, nor rejoice that you have the power, that the spirits are subject unto you. Now absorb that. What is subject to you? The spirits. That's to say, evil, bad, ugly. They're subject to you. That means you have power over them. But don't rejoice in that. Then what should you rejoice in? But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Why? Without your names being written in heaven, you don't have the power. So go back to base one. Understand the consensus and the love. Let me tell you something. The most powerful force in the world is love. Kings have fought wars against countries and to take the very pride treasures of the country. When that king gets back home, he takes those prize jewels and gives them to his queen because he loves her. I mean, fights an entire war. Love is powerful. And it is always present between you and the Father. And that is why your book is written in the book of life. because you belong to Him. Let me say it a different way, and probably the consensus will ring more true in your ear, that you serve Him. Okay? That's kind of hard, and it kind of brings some down, you know, when you take all that power and then all of a sudden say, you serve Him. Because that means you're just a servant. But I thought we had power over all, just your enemies. Just your enemies. But you must serve Him, or you don't have the power. Right? You're a servant. But let me tell you something, the servant, when you understand through love and consensus, is the greatest of all. That's what it looks like in His eye. Okay? Now turn with me to Luke chapter 22. I'm sorry. Don't want to go to Luke 22. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The chapter that tells husbands and wives how to get along. It tells you when to leave the old man or leave the old lady if they just will not align. It tells you how to act and react. But we have a great deal about, you know, occasionally I'll get a letter from a man. I'm digressing now, excuse me. I don't know why I can't help it. Spirit doing it, and perhaps, but I'll take the responsibility. I'll get a letter from a man and he'll say, I left that woman because I ordered her to follow the commandments as a woman of Israel should. And she would not obey me. And right away you want to say, well, who the heck do you think you are anyway? King Farouk, you know? Or something. But people get strange ideas. Excuse me for giving that example, and I know that old boy will forgive me because he hates me so bad after I got through with him, telling him how a woman that would be sucker enough to match up with him deserves a divorce. That's terrible to say that, but you don't know the man, all right? Whoa, boy. I don't know how, as beautiful and wonderful as women are, I don't know how a man could ever have a dislike for women of that way. I really don't. But this has to do with power between a man and his wife, and I felt led to just bring that right into this little discussion at this time. The Spirit did. Why? I don't know. Does it even fit? Well, I guess so, or He wouldn't have had us do this, right? Verse 3. Let the husbands, chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, respect, kindness, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. That is to say, respect, to show kindness and love, and fill each other's needs. That's what benevolence leads to. Fill each other's needs. Verse 4, listen very carefully. The wife hath not, let me read that again. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not. Now in fairness, let me read that again. The husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. In other words, they're one flesh. They belong together. The consensus is that you care enough about the other that in becoming one flesh, that you are indeed, in that sense, in the flesh, I'm speaking, one entity. We see that in our children. But again, I will repeat, the woman doesn't have power over her own body, and the man doesn't have power over his own body. That is absolute power to say, I have power over myself, I do what I want to do, and to heck with everybody else, including the old man. Okay? She doesn't have that power over her body if she is a wife indeed. And if it was the type of fellow we were discussing a moment ago, I expect a woman to stay in a woman's place. A woman is a woman, and she should stay, they're okay as long as they stay in their place. Okay? That type of guy. He doesn't have power over his own body to say such a thing. There's no consensus within that. There's no love. So we bring back that ecclesia, and we see that he has power over her body, someone, and she has power over his. Why? They are one flesh. Verse 5, concerning that same power. This is power hath not. We were talking about who has the power. We're talking about what powers now we don't have. All right? Verse 5. Defraud. That means don't deprive. When it comes to a man and his wife, deprive ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. Now let me just break this right down the way it reads in the Greek. Don't leave each other for a long period of time, be separated, without it is with the consent of both. That it's something that must be done, you come to that consensus, yes, we can handle this. We can be apart for 3 months, 6 months, and no problem. We can make it fine. That ye may not give yourselves to, that you may rather give yourselves to fasting and prayer. That is to say, grow in knowledge, grow closer to God, and to grow power and strength in your marriage. And come together again after that period, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. That is to say, the old saying said, being apart makes the heart grow fonder, whatever. All right? I think I said it. You got it. Okay. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, it's also a very dangerous thing. If it's not on an equal consensus that we both agreed to this, all right, it can make the heart grow coon hunting when you should be thinking about home, you know. And that's something in the South that's done considerably, and I think I'll leave this alone pretty quick. But anyway, here we see, if you will, and the reason I think we're supposed to cover this is you really see this power. You also see the love involved within it and the understanding, because sometimes it's difficult for us to visualize our consensus with Christ, because, I mean, after all, He's Messiah or our Father. But we can see it between two human beings. But basically, the root is the same. The power is the same in a sense. That the love, and you must have His consensus to do a certain thing in exercising that power. Why? Because He's the one that gives it. He's the one from whom the power flows, and He can snip off your string just that quick. For without Him, I'm sorry, you're up the river without a paddle, right? You're almost up the river without a boat, a canoe. You're in trouble, because all power and wisdom comes from Him. And a marriage that has that knowledge and that wisdom is unshakable. An unshakable marriage only has about one or two really knockdowns and drag outs, not that kind. No. But a good argument, right? That's fine. If the sign of a good marriage is to be able to overcome that yourselves. All right? I don't want to use the word argument even. Disagreement. I know none of you husbands and wives ever argue. Why I would even say that. But just come to a good, strong disagreement and then work it out. Men, wise up. Say, yes, dear. You know? I have found out one thing in my lifetime, that if you keep a woman absolutely happy as best you can, she'll do anything in the world for you. Easiest person in the world to get along with. That's within common sense and biblical boundaries. All right? So, let's get off of this one. That's the power of the family. And hey, it will help your family if you reason those things out and work them out where you can both handle it. That's all it's really saying. But you see that love is the tie that binds. That's what holds it together, the power. Now, let's go back to Luke 22. Little side trip there. Luke 22. Let's look at who it is that tries occasionally to possess this power. I want to go to Luke 24. Sometimes we as human beings have to really wrestle with this subject, and that's one reason I look forward to teaching this. Because even the 12, the disciples, had their problems when it looked like they were expecting the kingdom to come in right then. But then, I mean, these 12 men were important. They were the 12 disciples, students, had walked with Christ. I mean, these were important men. So, sooner or later, it comes to where you have 12 important people. This question is going to come forth. Verse 24, Luke 22. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Which of us is going to have the most horsepower? All right. Verse 25. And he said, Jesus speaking unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority, ekklesia, that's the word we're dealing with, and I'm using the prime instead of the word. You can check it out. This is the word power. The authority upon them are called benefactors. In other words, they say, boy, that king is the benefactor. He is the head moduc. He is it. All right? 26. If you want to get a hold of Christ's power, listen carefully. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. In other words, you must serve something to acquire the power of God, and that is to be a servant of God. Just a servant. We have one Father. He has work for us to do. I don't care who you are. I don't care how well-known you are or anything else. You're still a servant. And perhaps we could even say, the more well-known you are, the greater service you'll do. Verse 27. For whither is greater? Now remember the comparison. A Gentile king, that lordship, is he lords it over everyone. And that's called the benefactor. He asks, for whither is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? That's a question. Question. Is not he that sitteth at meat? Question. Doesn't answer it. He says, question. But I am among you, and here was the Son of God. I am among you as he that serveth. Now, automatically, your spiritual mind should kick in gear and hit overdrive and say, yes, he's feeding us. Yes. From the Word of God, He is feeding us the knowledge of how to use the power of God in our lives daily. to remove fear from our lives and to take authority and to take control. He's feeding us with that knowledge. All right? He always had. He always will. Verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, which is to say trials. And he had them, you know. He had trials to the point that ultimately he was crucified. 29. And I appoint, think of it as covenant, I covenant unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. That's the end result, beloved. I mean, we're talking big time here. We're talking as a servant, the kingdom of God. 30. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Fantastic. Do you know who, now think about this, but only remain in the spiritual mode, or you're going to kind of get kicked out of the saddle here just a little bit. Do you know who was allowed to sit at the king's table? Only the nobleman, alright? I mean, you had to be somebody. But you see, God's table is huge. His table has a seat for each child. If you're deserving. It's that big. His table is. And you can sup with him. That's his promise. But this is something else you want to be careful of. And I'm going to choose to throw two more verses into this. And it's not a digression. Think. 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. This would be old Peter, okay? Behold, Satan hath desired to have you. And my friend, listen to me just a moment. Let me interrupt. As one of God's elect, don't you worry, Satan desires to have you too. Because you're somebody. Because you're a child of God. He's got most of them. He wants you. So you better use the power and you better be sharp. So just because we're talking about Simon Peter, you're one of God's children too. He wants you. So that's why the power is important. Now, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I mean, put you through the little old sifter. And he knows your weaknesses. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, that's to say, after this is over, I'm crucified and you've recovered, strengthen the brethren. Christ knew he would. Right, he gave him that power. So there we see that even among the disciples, if you're not careful, you can let that old ego kick in. And when you have a destiny, when you know that you have a purpose, it's a very dangerous thing to have that ego knocking at your door. It's Satan's number one trick, is to play on your ego. If you have one, all right? Everybody should take pride in what they do and understand how I use the word pride. That is to do it right, in other words. Don't be sloppy in seed planting as best you can or whatever you do. But watch that ego because it doesn't come from you. The power does not come from you. It comes from the Father. So I just kind of throw that in passing, that you sit in a seat that can easily, Satan can easily try you out on the ego thing. Never let him succeed within that. Many people try for this power. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. The great book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. Let's pick it up with verse 9. You all remember old Simon. And this is not Simon Peter. It'll explain here real quickly. Verse 9 of the 8th chapter of Acts. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. and bewitched the poor of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Sorcery even has to do with drugs. Hey, give them a little whiff and make them fly a little bit and tell them, I control the mystics. You know, we're getting awful close to that in this generation, only they call it a different name. A drug pusher, he was a druggie. Thought he was something. The people thought he was too, especially if he got them hooked. Verse 10. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And here we have that word, dunamis. I mean, that's what they thought about him. I mean, he is really something. Verse 11. And to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. I mean, he was slick. I'm going to tell you what, we got some slickies in pulpits around this nation too, peddling spirits I'm not familiar with. Be very careful. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying Satan works from pulpits, through preachers, through revolving revs, called traditions of men. Be cautious. You might have a lot more Simons than you might think. Verse 12. Always stick with God's word and you'll never go wrong. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They heard the truth and they nailed onto it. They latched onto it. They went with it. 13. Then Simon himself believed also. He lost his crowd. Poor boy. So he went, always they will follow the action. All right? Believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered. Lock that little, in other words, that means he's a fake, all right? He wasn't really baptized. Just going along for the ride. Wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He wanted to learn more about these beautiful miracles to add to his bag of tricks. Got news for people like that. God's real miracles will not fit somebody's bag of tricks, and God's temple will not fit a circus. Now, that's not to say that, don't anybody read more into that. Circus people, many of them are wonderful Christians, and they pass along a lot of truths, but you know what? It's a figure of speech. 14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Remember, just like they had on Pentecost Day, where both the men and the women spoke with the evidence of the Holy Spirit, which is to say in every language of the world. 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's possibly because of Simon. Simon had their mind so messed up with traditions, we'll call them that, that maybe that's why they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. It isn't written, but it's logical. 17. Then laid they hands, their hands, on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Wham! I mean, they begin to speak exactly as they had on Pentecost Day, clearly heard in everyone's language. 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. You cannot buy the power of God. Wrong. He was there's a fake coming out the gate. He's a fake still yet. And you want to beware of fake religionist. Christianity is a reality. It's a power that you utilize every day. Not just when you're around a bunch of Christians, all right? Every day, wherever you are. 19, he offered the money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." I want some of that. Boy, with a show like that, I can hit the road, and I mean drag them in. Buy me a bigger tent, you know, and maybe even get a couple of elephants. Who knows, you know? And really lay it on. 20, that Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Can't do it. The story, as many of you have heard me repeat before, but in passing, I'll do it again. There is a word called simony in Christian circles. And what it means is trying to buy God's word. Okay? Many people do it by not being called of God, but preach for money. Not as bad, but hey, close. And also at the same time, this old Simon, he was so blowed up and high on himself that he decided he was Jesus. It was he that was the Son of God. If they could put him in a tomb and him come out in 3 days, so could he. So he had him dig a hole. He jumped in there and stretched himself out. They covered him up, and he's still there. Right? Still there. Still waiting. Right? So that's where simony will lead you. Now, let's turn on over, if we may, to Acts chapter 26. And let's look at this power from just a little different angle, in as much as Christ is calling Paul. Now, Paul represented, the traditional religionist. He was a zealot. Boy, he hadn't recognized the new covenant yet, and Jesus struck him down on the road. And Paul is repeating this to King Agrippa, all right? And he says in verse 14 of Acts 26, "And when we were all fallen to the earth," this is when Christ knocked them down on the road to Damascus, "I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue." That was Paul's base language. And the Son of God, appearing and with the aid of the Holy Spirit, naturally would speak in the tongue that Paul was most accustomed to. Now lock that away in your mind. It's important. Different study, different time. A proof, alright? "And in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In other words, I'll explain it the simple way. It's hard to take your shoes off and kick against the cactus. You don't hurt anybody but yourself. 15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." What purpose? "For this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." In other words, this, and I'm going to take you further, boy. 17. "Delivering thee from the people," that's to say your own people, "and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." I'm going to deliver your little old mind from some of the things you thought in the past, and I'm going to send you, buddy, out now to them. For what purpose? 18. "To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light." Hey, that's something you need in your life, beloved. "And from the power There's that word. Ecclesia. Of Satan. Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Now that leaves me. I'm the only one that wanted a sword here. Now he's saying Satan's got one. He does. Now, not a literal sword, all right? But he calls it his word. Satan also has that power. And don't ever underestimate him. But you don't have to be afraid of it, because why? You're given power over all your enemies, and certainly he's your enemy. Okay, but the reason I hesitate there is to make sure in your mind you understand that Satan does have that power, and Paul's main objective was to turn from the power of Satan unto God, that they, that means the people that hear you, that means you today, they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that it is me, that is in me, rather, in Christ, naturally to say. So don't ever get involved with the power of Satan. He's got it. You see many people playing certain games. I'd be very careful. I would be very careful if it originates from non-Christian. By that I mean from that power itself. It can be very... Remember I said he came as lightning, or we read it a moment ago, and I said that can be very illuminating. Can look like the real light, and you can be touched by it in many ways. Always know what you're dealing with. Always know your weapon. You know, we could make you a crystal sword. I mean, you can sharpen those babies just like a razor's edge, just about, and they are beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful if you were to make one, and you hit it and it will go ding, you know, ring like real crystal. And you're going to go to battle with that? Do you know what one lick with the steel will do to it? You would be disarmed in one little stroke. You got to know your weapons, and I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. Know how to use it. Understand that power. Exercise it. You always learn by doing. Next time there's something wrong in your family, order it out. If it's an evil spirit, order it out in the name of Yeshua Messiah Jesus the Christ. They run from him. Exercise that power. Paul is declaring here that Christ appeared on that road and said to turn the people from the power of Satan to the power of God. And you possess that power of God when you take that sword of truth, which is the Word of God, Revelations 1:16. Okay? All right, let's go to the book of Colossians here to complete. Colossians chapter 1. Just before the great book of Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 1. And let's pick it up in verse 9. And I read, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." It's important that you know God's will, and it takes knowledge to do it. "In all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You'll never be able to use the weapon if you do not obtain that. That's to say, the power. 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." Now, what does that mean? What is fruitful in work? That you're working, serving God, and it's producing some kind of fruit. You've got to do it. That's the way you receive His blessings. And increasing in the knowledge of God. The only true knowledge there is. 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. There's that word. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. That's two of the tuckies. Is patience and long suffering. Hey, I don't know about you, but whenever I suffer so long, pretty soon I like to find a way out pretty quick. You know. But we have to wait until it meets God's will. Then let it happen. 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers, made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen carefully. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And there we have that same old power again, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, he has removed you. What is darkness? You can't see. And spiritually it means you can't understand, because you can't see what it is. And to see with understanding is a Greek word that means you've been given eyes to see. They're open. And you can understand the spiritual significance of God's Scripture as it fits into your personal daily life. That means 7 days a week. Personal daily life. Giving you and setting you apart that authority to run a clean house. I'm talking about your temple. Now, we all have, unfortunately, some of us have our little habits and what have you. But you try. And as long as you try, he gives you the credit. And we all strive to do better. We've only had one perfect among us, and that was he himself, Christ. But we try. And hey, we make a pretty good wake. All right, verse 14, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I can't help going just another verse or two because they're just some of my favorites, okay? 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? I mean, when you see Jesus, you've seen God. He's the splitting image. The firstborn of every creature, 16, listen to this. This is where you get your power. For by him were all things created, even your soul, beloved, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Every dimension, dimensions you don't even know about because we cannot see, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he shares it with you. I don't know. Do you want your part? Hey, you're an heir. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Completing with 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He defeated death, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Okay, skip on to chapter 2 in this, in closing. And this is, even with the power, it's important that you pay close attention, because you can throw it all away right here, right in these verses I'm about to cover. Beginning with verse 2 of chapter 2, Colossians. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. That's important. If you're knit together, you know what that means? Real close in love. That doesn't leave Satan much of a pry bar room. And into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Do you want in on a secret? The mystery of God? It's right here. As long as you take it into yourself and exercise it and become a doer and not just a talker. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want knowledge and wisdom? Don't look for it somewhere else. All you are to see this new gadget. They got all kinds of stuff around it. have you read this book by so-and-so on Eastern religions, on this religion and that religion? Now, you really need to get with this and look at these great truths we see coming forth from these numbskulls. Beware of the net. You'll notice when people start, they're pretty near normal. And then as they listen to that junk, and I'm not talking about using it in business, that's good. But they got so many scatterbrains on there that pretty soon you don't know truth from fiction. And you can prove it by listening to one of them. And their interpretations of God's Word, that. You know, how quick you can lose your way. Focus on the Word of God and the Word of God only, or forget about the power, you don't have it. It comes from Him and Him only. All wisdom, all knowledge, and that's all you need. Verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Oh, you should hear this new anxious truth. I'm so anxious about it. It's vivacious. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joy in beholding your order and the steadfastness, the focus of your faith in Christ. 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Not someone else. Not something else. In Him. Oh, friend, forget about the power. You know what's going to happen? About the time you light your little wife up and the light is really shining, and he snips that thread of power on you, you're going to be so shrouded with blackness that you're not going to know which way to go. Up from down, right from wrong. Blessings removed, and sadness in your lives. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him only, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, not something else. There's only one truth. Abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments. That's the evil things of the world, and not after Christ. I mean, you want to lose it? Then go somewhere except after the Christ. I just read a few things of other religions. If you're a strong person, that's fine. If you're a weak person, don't do it. By that I mean is if you're not really solid, I would advise you to get your mind solid in Christ before you start playing with Satan's power. Because he's got a lot of it out there. Example. It's so easy. I saw a little report off the net on the red heifer. You know, big time stuff. Well, do you know what? It has absolutely nothing to do with prophecy concerning the end. As a matter of fact, it's an insult to Christ for you to even think such a thought. Because He is our sign, and you're not going to have any other. Just as He told the dumb people, give us a sign, you're looking at it. You don't need any more. Wake up, my friends. We're coming to the battle. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all, I mean, that's A-L-L, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're not going to find it anywhere else. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Concluded. Power. There is no other power that can come against it. Why? Because He gives you power over all of your enemies, and any power there is around you that does not agree with that word to you is an enemy, and you have power over it. So as far as you're concerned, He is all powerful. And you're fortunate enough that you have a part in it. But in the beginning, I made a statement, and I'm going to close with that thought, that when you cease to serve, you cease to have the power. I'm going to say it again. When you cease to serve Him in His will, when you lose that, you also lose the power. And Satan's going to have a feast on you, your family, but particularly you, because he wants you. Because within truth, there is hope. Again, the prime root of power is love. Any way you slice it, it always comes back to love. Love him, for he loves you. He put it all on the line for you. Why would you need something else when you have him? And his word is so complete when you exercise the wisdom in your mind and understanding what it is that he has waiting for you, sitting at his table, to inherit, if you would, all things. We're not playing church, my friends. This is reality. And it's knocking at the door. It's all but here. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for the power that is your power that we may borrow or we may use as a servant of thine, Father, to drive Satan from the people, as Paul's instructions were, to open their eyes and to change them from the power of darkness to the power of light. Touch each one. Be with us. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world, different age. The creation itself.